Okay, so I'm going to introduce myself because I'm the moderator also. So my name is Beth Altshuler, and I am an epidemiologist and urban planner at Ramin Associates, and I'm going to be sharing about a project we're doing with the City of Los Angeles and the County of Los Angeles on a plan for a healthy LA, and we did a big health atlas, this thing, which there's one in the back also for you to look at. So just how we're using spatial analysis to inform different policy decisions. So I have no disclosures. And just a little background, Ramin Associates, we're a 9-person strong group that works on the intersection of public health, sustainability and climate change, and community planning to enhance social equity in the places we work. So this is kind of, before I jump into the LA project, this is just like a personal educational public service announcement that I feel like it's really important to talk about the words we use in public health. There's always confusion. I spend a lot of time talking to planners about why I choose to use the words inequity versus disparities, and when I choose to use those different words, and I think the same, you know, this is sort of the same concept with equality and equity, and this really applies to why it's so important to do this granular analysis that Curtis was talking about and that we're doing in LA, because there's really different things happening across different neighborhoods, and so, you know, when you're talking about policy, doing this detailed neighborhood data analysis helps make the case for giving those neighborhoods a boost, you know, the little short kid keeps the neighborhood that needs a lot of help. So anyway, that's my 2 cents. And I like this definition of health equity that the California Department of Public Health published, which is that efforts to ensure that all people have full and equal access to opportunities that enable them to lead healthy lives. And I forgot to put my timer on, so I'm going to do that so I don't. So, also, I am here on behalf of literally over 1,000 people that have been working on this project. Everyone from the rest of my team, Eric Yurkovich, and who's my colleague, he's the one who actually wrote the abstract, my boss, Matt Ramey, and then lots of people at the planning department, the health department, over 40 or community groups and business groups, a technical advisory committee, which is our kind of health and all policies committee, and then an expert panel, and then over 1,000 residents that have participated in the process so far. And is there anyone, just out of curiosity, I know there's a few people who are on our advisory committees at the APHA. Is anyone here who's, no? Well, anyway, if you are, thank you. So just a little overview, the plan for a healthy Los Angeles elevates health as a priority in the city's future growth and development, and establishes a policy framework to make Los Angeles a healthier place to live, work, and play. And we're doing that by creating a health and wellness element for the city's general plan, which in other states is just the comprehensive plan. We've been at this project since the fall of 2002. The components of the project include the Health Atlas and the interactive website, Healthy Plan LA, which I'll focus my presentation on those two, but we also have our technical advisory committee, the HEAP group, a community advisory committee, public engagement, and then, of course, the health element, which is, I have a copy in the back, and right now we're working closely with the city to implement some of the first initial programs of the plan. So the Health Atlas creates a point-in-time spatial analysis snapshot by neighborhood of over 100 health inequity indicators that we mapped and summarized by neighborhood. So anything from health outcomes, health behaviors, environmental conditions, socioeconomic conditions. And this, we did all this work to point us towards targeted community engagement and targeted policy development and implementation of the policy. So the City of LA is committed, feel free to come up if you come in late, fine, committed to making sure that the work of this project helps those areas most in need. So the topics in the health element, it's broken up into, or in the health atlas are broken up into these different topics, and then we have many indicators under each chapter, and then it all culminates in a community health an equity index. So I'm starting with the punchline, which is the last thing in there is this community health and equity index. So we made indices for each chapter of our health atlas to combine all the variables. And we've worked with the public health department's epidemiologists going back and forth on how to weight different indicators, came up with this thing. The map looks like this. So it's putting over 100 indicators together to show kind of cumulative impacts of like the many, many risks and benefits and disadvantages that communities face across the city. This index was wonderful for community groups to see because it's what they've been living and breathing and kind of advocating for a long time. So they were really happy to see that all the places that popped up as brown, dark brown on the map were the ones that they always kind of had the gut feeling that were the most hard hit by cumulative impacts. And then when we drilled deeper down into those dark brown areas, the top quintile, we saw even more variation, so we could drill down even deeper to the most, you know, impacted communities in the city. So I'm just going to go through a few of the maps quickly just so you can see kind of examples, but please go online and download it because they're really fun to look at all the maps. The hardship index, for example, is one piece of the health and equity index, and it's a validated measure that some people in the UK created. So you can see that it kind of corresponds very nicely to the community health and equity index. Life expectancy at birth, again, we see a 12-year divide between Watts, which has the lowest life expectancy, and then the areas of Bel Air, Brentwood, Pacific Palisades, some of the wealthier areas of the city. So that also tracks, you know, very highly correlated with the Community Health and Equity Index. Similarly, obesity, there's some areas of LA where there's 11% obesity and then other areas where it's well over 30% in some neighborhoods. The California EPA has created this amazing data set of lots of more environmental pollution focused indicators with also some social determinant indicators. So the CalEnviro screen, we've mapped that, and alongside you can see it tracks somewhat. There's some areas that have kind of more middle incomes but are heavily hit by, not hit, but have just host a lot of industrial uses. For example, up in Chatsworth, there's a lot of factories up there. The Retail Food Environment Index kind of does not really track super well. You can see the dark purple swath in the middle of that map is a very affluent area of the city, so there's no healthy food stores there because it's like very private hillside mansions. So the city knows not to focus a lot of energy there. Walkability is, we saw, you know, kind of the older historic areas of the city that are built on a pretty clear grid and have good transit. This was a composite score of that we created of intersection density, housing density, retail density, land use mix, I believe that's it, and maybe a few other things, but we could see, you know, this is kind of a positive indicator that is showing up more highly in some of the more vulnerable communities in LA. So that's a great thing. So then similarly, transit, LA, like different than the stereotype of LA, actually is starting to have a lot better transit. 3/4 of residents live within a 0.5 mile of high frequency transit or a metro line. And a lot of the poorer areas of the city are somewhat well served. Not, you know, it's hard to get around everywhere. However, the dark side of this is more people are walking, biking, taking transit, and there are more pedestrian and bicycle collisions, so some of the interventions are going to need to be improving the infrastructure in these areas. And then, I guess, also similarly, like, a lot of residents are like, that's great that my street is very well connected and there's mixed uses, but it's dangerous, so I'm not going to take the bus and I'm still going to drive. And so we see that very clearly in the crime map, like the darker blue areas. There's the perception of crime, and there's also the actual crime happening in these neighborhoods. So all of this information in the big atlas is summarized by neighborhood in bar graphs and at very fine scale in the PDF maps, but we wanted to make this data more accessible to the community groups and kind of not be a hefty 200-page document for people to flip through. So all this data is housed on healthyplanla.la, and we have neighborhood profiles, so you can click on your, when I say neighborhood, I'm actually referring to the city's designation of community plan areas. So there's 36 of them. So you can click on it and see all 100-plus indicators for that community plan area and see how it compares to the other areas and citywide. So the community groups have been, we've been hearing from them already that they've been using this data in their grant applications. Other public agencies are using the data. So it's been a really great resource that goes well beyond the scope of just to make the health element for this project. And here you can see more of what the sheet looks like. Additionally, the city of LA actually has a very talented graphic design department, and we were able to work with them to create an infographic with some of the findings. So taking this really dense map atlas with lots of data and making it sort of more fun, they put these out in at least Spanish, maybe also some other languages, and these went out, all over social media. So I'm going to get a little bit into the methods because we're at the public health conference. So I just want to, if you're interested in methods and data sources, we have a whole PDF data guide on the website that has sources methodology for each indicator. And, we had to get, we spent many months getting all the data and cleaning it and in some cases creating our own data, and that's definitely a what you have to kind of pull up your sleeves and do if you want to map lots of these indicators. Additionally, the technical advisory PF committee and the community advisory committee, these maps were all presented to those committees and kind of worked with them so they would see something and say, well, no, we think it's more important to talk about a buffer to food stores being, a half a mile or a quarter mile. So they were able to ground truth results and modify measures, which was very helpful. So that's all I'm going to say right now on the health atlas, because I think the really exciting part for me as a urban planner, the urban planner side of my job, is that this matters and there's a so what to the data. So this data has all fed into creating policies for a healthy plan for LA. The Planning Commission recently passed it, and now it has to go to City Council, but we're getting close. So the goals that we've come up with for this plan are listed here. So things like a leader in health inequity, a city built for health, goals around parks and food, jobs, just neighborhoods. So there's policies that correlate with all those goals. And also, I should say that the Health Atlas data is used in the plan for each policy we have, or for each goal we name certain numeric objectives, measurable objectives that the city and county health department will be tracking over time with the implementation of the plan. So not all 120, we chose a smaller set, but it's kind of, it'll be great to see if they can keep up with tracking it. So the other exciting thing about this project is that they're we're doing some implementation programs. So even though the plan's not fully adopted yet, we're already starting to work with the city on implementing some of the programs called out in the action plan. And one that I'm just going to quickly go through so we have time for questions is that in California we have a crazy weird law called the Quimby Ordinance, which tells cities how much money they can ask developers to pay to contribute to the park system. So if someone's creating a big housing development, if a city has a Quimby ordinance, there's a certain very complicated formula that gets done so they pay money to the city. So the city of LA has extremely inequitable distribution of parkland across the city. And so one of the things that came up in this process was that parks was a huge opportunity area to change. So we're working to update it, and we're building on the Health Atlas data, and it's really important to have Quimby when you're updating park fees to have good data, because the developers have a lot of lawyers and they almost guaranteed will sue the city once they try and put through the new park fee ordinance. So we're analyzing parks by type and by neighborhood, park level of service, park access, recreation, facility and cost, schools, housing units by like low income, seniors, condominiums, everything. And then also looking at 11 years of Quimby fee collection and looking at how the city has used it and if it's been going in the neighborhoods it's been supposed to be going. So this is just a map of the parks per 10,000 residents, so kind of building on things that we already did but making them a little more specific. I'm not going to go into here, but we looked at the kind of park service level of service in conjunction with how it correlates with some of the health outcomes and social determinants outcomes or obesity, so we can try and link this new park fee study policy to some of the health outcomes and in equities that were documented in the health atlas. So here's a scatter plot showing there's this correlation between non-white and Latino areas and park level of service. And then, you know, this is sort of what park access looks like. Only half the city can walk to a park within a half mile. And then, you know, kind of the more complicated where the money is going. And you can't really see it on the map, but just so you get a sense of, like, that this spatial analysis can go a lot farther than just, like, putting dots on the map where parks and grocery stores are. So some of the takeaways from the whole Health Atlas project specifically are so thinking about geographic scale, and I think it's important to ask yourself how low can you go. I think it's not an academic exercise, and this looking at neighborhood differences is important. So, you know, weighing, sacrificing small confidence intervals to have that neighborhood-specific data I think is really important. And sometimes the data doesn't exist, but we spent a lot of time with coffee and headphones and many late nights in the office just geocoding to make, you know, the city of LA didn't have a list of all their supermarkets, so we literally were just making that data set ourselves. But now we've been sharing it with other groups and they're taking it and going further. We didn't do this in LA, but in some places where they don't do a good health survey in the county, we'll do a health survey when we're doing a health element, and that's been great to get individual level data so we can link it to built environment conditions. Choose wisely, but try everything first. Even though there's, you know, 114 or so maps in here, we probably tried 300 or so indicators, and many of them weren't published. And we just weren't going to know what was interesting until we kind of got it on paper and could see it. When you're doing that, though, think about the local relevancy. So urban, suburban, and rural are all going to have different cut points, different indicators. Think about the culture of the place and people. And then also think about policy relevancy, so measure what you want to move. Finally, sharing is caring. So that decolonizing knowledge poster I have at my desk, and it's from this group, the Data Center. It's a great nonprofit, all about research justice in California, but really trying to make your methods and results transparent, sharing it so other people can further the cause, and then presenting community-friendly results so people can understand what their public agencies are doing for them. So that's all for the presentation. I think I maybe have a couple of minutes for a question or two. Does anyone have any questions?
Yes. What geographic scale did you end up using?
So the data is all aggregated and summarized at the community plan area, but the map, and that's on the website and also in the bar graphs in the atlas, for each indicator, we presented it on the map at the smallest scale possible. So some of our data is at census block, some is at block group, some is at track, some is at zip code, some is at other weird designations that we had to deal with. But yeah, we tried to just, like, if you want to zoom into a map and see where the actual, you know, collisions are, you can, or where the supermarkets are, you can do that. think she was next in the menu. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was, I don't think it's a story we were trying to force to tell. Like, everyone knows that there's not a grocery store in the hills, and it's not a big deal that that's how it is. So I don't think we really were trying to tell a story, and I think if things, yeah, we didn't have, like, a straight story that we were going for. I mean, the data spoke for itself. We didn't need to manipulate anything to show the wide gaps that are happening in LA. I wish there was manipulation that had happened, but it's unfortunately, yeah.
You mentioned health surveys. What do you elaborate? What do you mean?
Yeah, so for the county of Santa Clara, for example, they don't do a big health survey like the LA County does. So we, for the health element there, we really wanted to be able to dig deeper into looking at, breaking things down by different demographics. So we did it's a non-science convenience sample. We had over 3,000 residents respond. We had 4 languages. It was an online survey, so it's limited in who it was reaching. But still, we got really interesting data that we used in the health element, and then also the health department wound up using it for their accreditation documentation as well.